Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand. Go before Him in prayer tonight. Lord, what a wonderful opportunity, Lord, it is again together. Lord, I can't help but think, Lord, here's your mercy and grace, Lord, this desire, Lord, to even be here. Lord, I'm so thankful for that desire, Lord. Lord, keep it white hot, burning, Lord. Let me reach for that higher height, Lord, in you. Lord, just have your perfect preeminence in this service, Lord. Everything that's said and done be for your glory and honor. We'll give you all the glory and praise due unto you, Lord. We ask it in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to try a few songs tonight. Page 364 in Our Only Belief. Amen. In times like these, bear with me, it's a little slower. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. steps a solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. My anchor solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor grips the solid rock. Amen. Very sure. Amen. Amen. I'd like to try another one on page 274. I apologize ahead of time if you've heard this song a different way than I learned it. I found it in several different versions, and I like this one, so just bear with me. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, while Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that He might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did He pray, even while His lifeblood flew fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe. No one but Jesus ever loved so. Precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love Him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise Him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, dying and unheeding, dying for me. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, while Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Precious Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, poor sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray, even while his lifeblood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend, how can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems I can see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Amen. It's a little tough one to learn, but it's a beautiful song.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Page 332. Same book. Amen. I'm sorry, 323. Amen. It was told that he would come, and the race he would run, it would end on an old rugged cross.
Yeah.
glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we're so thankful for your grace, your mercy, your blood you shed. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, just let your will be done in our lives. Amen. Have your full preeminence. Lord, just bless us, Lord, according to your word. With your word, Lord, we ask and pray. Amen. By his Spirit, we are healed. And by his Spirit we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Remembering what he done for me on that cross. Yeah. Amen. I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Brother Amos, would you like to pick up the offering? Amen.
Brother. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to say once more, thank yes. you, Lord, Hallelujah. For all you've done for us. Lord, thank you for what you are doing.
Amen.
Lord, all glory and honor be unto thee. We thank you, Lord, once more for this opportunity you granted, Lord, to be here this evening together yes. with my brothers and sisters around thy precious word. Lord, we ask that our hearts and minds will be open to receive what you have for us this evening. May it find that good ground in our hearts. Lord, we just ask that your will be done for me in this service. Lord, we ask that you'll bless this offering once more. May it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask these things in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. He is here. Hallelujah. He is. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He Settles, would you take the request?
Amen, Lord. You're so wonderful and precious to us.
Amen.
And Lord, it's truly a privilege to be able to stop and thank and reminisce, Lord, of all you've done for us in your curse, not a story in your head, Lord. It was a real pain, real agony that you bore for me. For that's what I deserve, Lord. That you took my place, Lord, that I may bear your righteousness. I love you so much. And Lord, you paid the price for our request tonight.
Yes, amen.
May we not let it be in vain, Lord, but may we take advantage of it. And Lord, claim our healings, our needs,
yes.
Lord, with the faith, Lord, that you grant to us. And we want to say thank you. Just bless everyone now. Bless the remainder of this service. May you continue to guide us and enlighten us by that word, we pray. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Yes, he is he. Hallelujah. He is he. Special they want to sing?
There are circumstances that arise in our lives, many situations we must face. And in all the trials and tests, Satan tries to do his best to make us reason God's word away. But if we can just stop, let that word come to our minds, each decision that we make will be right. And though it comes against our flesh, dear Lord, it's for the best. So we need to feel a touch from you today. We need a little touch, Lord. Everything's all right with a little touch, Lord. We'll be able to make it through these perilous times. With the mountains so high, the valley so low, if we can just touch, we know we can make it with just a little touch from you. We know we are living in such perilous times. Satan's going throughout the land. He'll try to take your mind with all the cares of life. He's deceiving all he can. When we come into the temple and hear your precious word, That's the source from which our strength will be renewed. And though the battle's raging hot, dear Lord, it matters not if I can only feel a little touch from you. Just a little touch, Lord, and everything's all right. With a little touch, Lord, I'll be able to make it through these perilous times. With the mountains so high, the valley so low, if I can just feel your touch, I know I can make it with just a little touch from you. With the mountain so high, the valley so low, if I can just feel your touch, I know I can make it with just a little touch from you. Touch from you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Let's sing our little chorus, Amazing Grace, as we ask our brother to come.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Bow our heads. Precious Lord, we are truly grateful, Lord, for another opportunity to come and to feel your presence, and Lord, to draw one step closer to you. Lord, we just see the lateness of the hour in which we're living, and Lord, as we see your Holy Spirit calling out, Lord, seeking, get us ready. Lord, may the urgency truly begin to press in each and every heart here. Lord, greater than we've experienced it. Lord, that we would be a people that would truly be seeking out your will, Lord, with a passion, a true passion, and a hunger in our hearts. Lord, that we would be a people that would be pleasing to you in every way. And Lord, we've just come tonight, Lord, to bring this portion that you've laid upon our hearts. And Lord, to renew our minds. And Lord, may it help us, Lord, strengthen us. Lord, make us press a little more, maybe. But Lord, you're looking for a people, Lord, to be ready for our rapture. And Lord, it's going to happen just any day. And Lord, may we not lose sight of our goal. But Lord, may we keep our eyes focused on what we've been sent for, Lord. And we ask it to your glory and your honor, Lord, that you would bless your word, bless our hearts to the hearing. And we'll never fail to praise you and thank you for it in the lovely, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. He's so precious to us. Amen. We thank the Lord for the message this morning.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for he's ever mindful of us, of everything we have need of. And he's watching over us to be certain that he doesn't lose one. Amen. But while you're standing, I'd like to turn over to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, if you would, and read a very familiar scripture this evening. And you know, it's Paul speaking here, but bear in mind that it was Jesus Christ that gave him the words to speak, that we would read them today, the same as he spoke them then, and that they would become a more greater reality in our hearts. Romans 12 in the first chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. You know, I was thinking, as Brother Branham typed it in the message token, of the little Jewish man bringing his lamb down to make a sacrifice. And how is he, when God first gave that to him, how they came to make that sacrifice with great enthusiasm in their heart. And with great ambition and drive to make sure it was done correctly. And always right on time, in the right place, the right manner. It was prepared correctly. But as time went on, how it just became a tradition. And they began to lose sight of the reality and the importance of what was taking place. And you know, we stand here today with a message that God has given us in this hour. And a call out. Each one of us, at some point, God has spoke to our hearts and drawn us to this little place here we gather in. But the reason we was called and the purpose for which we've been called to is not just to fill benches, and just to be here as a group of people filling up a building. But God is searching for a bride, someone that's a true reflection of what he said he would be. He said he predestinated someone to be conformed to the image of his son. And you know, as we gathered this morning and as brother brought the word and has been coming forth over the last few services, and how we can see the Holy Spirit trying to show us, it's got to be every word. And how we can look throughout the land and we can begin to see a lot of people that started with great enthusiasm to follow a message. A great enthusiasm to live by every word they said. But all over time, things changed and things darkened their door. And oh, now it's not that important. And the importance left. This word's not quite as important as it used to be. But you know, as our brother was speaking this morning, that ministry was given to bring a people to the fullness, to the stature of Christ. And how we see here is Paul was speaking, and he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here we go one more evening to come and together and to have our minds renewed through the way of the word. And how we should cherish each and every time we get to come. And how it should be with such importance and such great awe we truly gather in. Lord's going to speak to me. The Lord is going to speak to me. Not we just... it's church time and the doors are open. But is there still a greatness in our hearts, a desire burning, not just to, oh, it's church time, I've got to go. But is there truly a desire? What's the Lord got for me this evening? And that's the way we should enter these doors each and every time. And if we did, we might get a little more from God. We might have more understanding. He'd be more willing to impart and reveal to our hearts the things that we have need of. And you know, every word has got to become important. Every word. Even, you know, this morning our brother was mentioning raising children. It's got to be that important to us. But it's got to become every word. This whole entire Bible, as he held it up, we've got to see the importance of that in each of our lives. In a greater manner. We've all been to church for a long time. And we can tell you a lot of things, what's written in the scripture. We can tell you a lot of things that's written in the prophet's message. But is it living? Is it a living epistle read of all men in my life? That's where it's got to come to. that we're be totally conformed to the image of Jesus Christ living in this time. I'd like to refresh our minds to some things the prophet said. I want to start here in Christ as the mystery of God revealed. And this is on page 20. This message was preached in July of 63. I'm just going to start here. He says, all things was made by him. This is paragraph 134. And since he has made all things, all for us, all of us, and all things made for by him, and since that's true, we should make our identification be with him. We should be identified ourselves with him because he was identified himself with us. We should be identified with him. How? By living for him, not just a confession. So many people take a confession and say, it's got to this place now. Are you a Christian? I'm a Methodist. Well, that's a long ways from making yourself known as a Christian. Well, look what the Methodist does. I'm Baptist. Well, look what the Baptist does. I'm Catholic. Look what they do. And my brother may have touched on this recently. But the only way you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. Hey, how we got some a stinger there. I hope everybody on tape gets that too, see? You say I'm Pentecostal. That don't mean a thing. It's Christ identified in you. That's when he has recognized you. You say, I spoke with tongues. Devils does too. I shouted. The Mohammedans, the Buddhas, everything shouts. The Indian screams at the snake dance. See, sure. They all do. Cults, clans, everything else scream and holler. And they holler and shout at a baseball game. But when Christ is identified in you, identifying yourself, then you are Christ-like, which the word Christian means to be Christ-like. Amen. There is your identification. And when you stop to think of that and you hold this up, that this is what Christ was like. We've got a lot of places, a lot of pressing, a lot of climbing yet to do. Amen. And how we should truly see that in our hearts and in our lives, that this is no time to be at a stalemate. Oh, I believe all of the mysteries and I'm going to church faithful and I'm doing all I know. But what's laying in there that I'm lacking? Because one word short, I'm not going to take that final journey. And that's our goal. That's why we was called. That's why we were sent. That's why we've dedicated our lives to what God has called us for. But are we truly giving it our all at this last hour? Am I pressing with all the enthusiasm that's within me, just like I did at the start? Is it still burning just as hot, or is it burning greater? Abraham was stronger in faith after 25 years. How much greater should our enthusiasm be as we're getting farther down the road, that we're making sure every word is living and manifesting in my life, and that I'm holding a standard that what I claim to believe is not just a confession, but I have a possession of that faith, and it's a representation living back through my life that's vindicating itself to others that I believe, and it's manifested that I believe what I said I believe. Oh, not just following a message, following a word, going to church, trying to keep a tradition. But oh, there's something down on the inside. For when the Gentiles do by nature the things that are contained within the law. Amen. Oh my, when Christ has changed that desire. And all things begin to flow a little different and it begins to work different. But oh, we've got to see that in our life. And now is the time to be honest with ourselves and make sure that it's working exactly the way God wanted it to work. Amen. And the way he said it would be. Amen. But oh, we've got to find our identification. We should be identified with him by living for him, he says. And oh, this word has got to come to that place that it is a true reality. Not just pages, words on a page. And oh, I can tell you, I know Brother Branham was a prophet. And I believe he was a prophet. And I believe these mighty signs and wonders. The children of Israel did too when they came out of Egypt. And as a type, they came out strong, seeing God, sent a prophet, vindicated it with a pillar of fire. The message was there, and they left Israel, left Egypt land jumping and shouting with joy. But there was only two out of that group that kept a real determination and a true enthusiasm burning in their heart to see that promised land that God had given them. Amen. Oh my, they kept on because they was looking to what God had promised. They didn't get satisfied with, oh, it was better than what they had had. But they wanted all that God had given them. Amen. And they was determined to get it. Hallelujah. Amen. This is in the Message Leadership, preached December 7th, 1965, on page 18. Amen. Paragraph 140. Didn't Jesus say in the last days, Matthew 24, that the two would be so close it would deceive the very genes predestinated, the elected ones, if it was possible? almost like the real thing, see? So in the last days, you see, it's wheat time now, and it's getting harvest time. This is not Luther's age. This is not the Pentecost age. This is the bride age. And as Moses called a nation out of a nation, Christ today is calling a church out of a church. So don't get your eyes on someone sitting beside you. You got to keep your eyes on the Word and what God has revealed to you. We all come here, and I pray to God that every one of us is going to be there on that day. But you can't look to the right or the left. This is an individual affair. And we must make certain that we're doing exactly what God has revealed to you and to me to do, to follow His instructions through. He says, Christ today is calling a church out of a church. See, you see the same thing in type, taking them to this glorious eternal promised land. Now, to refuse that person that's doing the calling, Christ, no matter if you're Pentecostal, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever you are, you've got to this age. Nothing against them, not at all. But in this age now, you've got to accept, like they did in that age, the person of Christ, which is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, see? You must accept the person of eternal life. Now, what life Luther had was justification. And Wesley had sanctification added to it. The Pentecost had the restoration of the gifts come back in it, added to it. But now it's completing in the body. You see the three phases of it. And out of that, when the resurrection comes, the life that lived in them Lutherans that went out, the life that lived in the Methodists and went out, the life that went into the Pentecostals, which will be raptured out of the ground, and the body of the bride will be taken back before Jesus Christ. Glory to God. It's exciting. It's the truth. We've turned a corner. And I want you to think of that. Justification was right. Sanctification was right. Baptism of the Holy Ghost was right. But this is the age of the full Word. It's got to be all of it together, vindicating and living back through a people. We can't just stop with what one portion. You can't, oh, I've come this far and this is good enough. Till Jesus comes, I'm not climbing no higher. You can't stop. We must press for the mark of the high prize, the calling in Christ Jesus. It never stops. That press never stops till we get up there. Hey, man, he says, glory to God is a sign. We've turned a corner. We're looking towards heaven, watching for the coming of the cap on the pyramid, as we would say, his coming back. The church must be resurrected soon, and we must get ready. And the only way you can is not say, well, I belong to the assemblies, and I belong to Oneness, Tunis, or whatever. I belong to the Capstone Life Tabernacle. That's not going to cut it. And then there, I belong to the Church of God. That don't mean a thing. Our fathers shouted and danced. That's just perfectly all right. That was their day. But today you're confronted not with the organization that may, but with the life that's going on, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. And how that life was flowing right through each one of them up to this time. And that life is building and his requirements laid out here in the fullness that he brought. And how it ought to be pressing in our hearts to see that fullness made real and alive in our own hearts and in our own lives. Every word, and how it should become so real to us. Amen. And how we ought to be so thankful that we truly can come in, and the Holy Spirit may cut our hides here. But thank God that He's still willing, just as I'm still, as a parent, I'm willing to pick up a rod and correct my own child. Thank God that He's still watching over me and still mindful of every step I'm taking to make sure that it's lining up 100% with what God wants me to be in this hour. He's going to raise me up in the way I should go, and I'll be there where He wants me to be. Yes. And how thankful we ought to be that God places genuine ministry in our lives and in our paths for that reason. Amen. God gave a gift to me and a gift to you. That was gifts to the church, and I'm in that church by God's grace. Amen. Hey, man, those gifts were to me for my benefit. How great, great, and thankful we ought to be. Oh, my, for what God can do. Hey, man, oftentimes it's said, don't get mad at the mailman. And how we ought to be a people that's so far above that. That we can truly look beyond the veil of human flesh. And follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and see what God is wanting from us in this late hour. Amen. Hey, man, we've come too far now to turn back. Too far to look back. Yes. Hey, man, it's time to press while we can. Yes. Move on up to what God wants us to be. Hey, man, this is in the message, the token, preached November 28th, 1963. Amen. Page 17, paragraph 117. Now we see that we're living down at the last hours. The believers must accept all the Word. Notice, it was just not to get together and talk about it. That's all the Jews came together and say, now I tell you what, tell you fellas, you know, I believe that Moses is right because look, we've seen God identifying himself with Moses because we see that pillar of fire. We know what happens. We know all the identification that God has given Moses. It's right. You know, he said we've got to have the blood on the door. I believe that. But you know, after all, I believe I'm just about as good as anybody. I'm really a covenant Jew. I've been circumcised. I pay my offerings and tithes into the congregation. Why, even the priest, I eat dinner with him. Why, I'm just as good as man as the rest of you are. That isn't what happened. We're not to come together to talk about the message. We're to come together and get in the message. And the message is Christ. He is the Word, that's right. We're to get into it and get beneath it. Yes, sir, that's what we're supposed to do. He wasn't responsible for any persons out from under the blood, not one. No matter who he wasn't responsible. All he had to take, not only himself, but his whole family, they're only safe when the token was displayed. And we cannot feel safe until the token is displayed, that's right. You must come under the token, God's Holy Spirit, and it displays to you Jesus Christ because it comes and it lives in you. As I said last night up in New York at one of the messages, if I told you Shakespeare lived in me, I would do the works of Shakespeare because I couldn't help it. I'm no more myself. I am dead. Shakespeare and I cannot live together in here. Amen.
Amen.
I am no more myself. Shakespeare and I cannot live together in here. But if I am dead to myself, then Shakespeare lives in me. The works of Shakespeare I'll do. The life of Shakespeare lives in me will be lived out like Shakespeare. And if the life of Beethoven lived in me, I would be Beethoven. If the life of John Dillinger lived in me, I would be John Dillinger. That's right. And if the life of Jesus Christ lives in the person, they become identified with him.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And you've got to stop right there and take every word into consideration. From every word that we've heard. It's from the raising of our children, husbands loving wives, wives being under subjection, all the way up to the way we should conduct ourselves, to the way we present every obstacle in life, every situation, the way that it's handled. Oh my, he's got to live. And that's a big step. You can't, no way can we do that in ourselves. And if the life of Jesus Christ lives in the person, they become identified with him. It's Christ in you, not a church member, not a system, but a resurrected power. It's the Holy Ghost is a token upon you that your life says amen to every scripture and the promise that is written in there. And it's painful sometimes to have to take the word. Maybe we've got a situation in our home we've got to straighten up. Maybe it's not easy. Maybe the wife's bucking me just a little bit. But we've got to take the word and cut that situation down the same as the pastor has to get behind the pulpit and bring the word. That's our duty as a husband and as a father to our homes. Then we must each one be in that situation. I must be ahead of our home.
Yes.
I must take that leadership.
Amen.
And stand there with it firmly.
Amen.
And watch God, you take a hold of God's word and with him in your heart and with the right motive and objective, and you watch God work that situation to your glory, benefit for his glory.
Yes.
But if we don't take it, oh, I'm afraid I'll make my wife mad and she might quit going to church. I might do this and my wife's going to get offended over here, or vice versa. Maybe if I really stand like a true wife, my husband's going to get mad and be upset with me. But God's word comes first.
Amen.
And if we'll put him first and take him at his word, maybe I've got a problem with children. Maybe I've got a problem with over here of any kind, maybe financial, whatever it is. You take God's word first.
Amen.
And follow his leadership and you watch God work the situation around the way it works.
Amen.
For him. But oh my, oftentimes in our own mind we try to figure it out. We try to work out the situation instead of first taking it to God in prayer and saying, Lord, here's my situation. And don't go with the selfish motive, but go before God. Lord, I need you to intervene on my behalf. Watch God move on the scene. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Oh my. And we need to make him so and let him be God.
Amen.
You're not yourself no more. No, you're Christ. You don't think your own thoughts. You don't think your thoughts. You say, you have no thought coming. The life that was in Christ is in you, and the mind that was in Christ is in you. The works that was in Christ is in you, and Christ himself is in you. You're dead. Your life is hid in God through Christ, sealed there by the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. And you're not responsible for anybody. The whole family must be brought into the token, must be displayed. It had to be. And if it wasn't displayed, then it was of none effect. You could believe in it, and you could say, oh, yes, I believe it. But that didn't do it. You say, well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll put it in a bucket, and I'll set it over here on the wall. But really, I think as long as I have it in here, if I had the blood over here, no, sir. You can't be a secret boy about it. No, sir, you have to have it. You've got to have it on display. That was the purpose of putting it on the door so he could see it on the lintel, on the doorpost. It's something you're not ashamed of. You want the whole world to know that you are dead and your life is hitting God through Christ. And may that be the true desire of our heart. Because Lord, let me take you at your word. Lord, let me surrender all. Give you my all. As Paul said, I beseech you to give your body as a living sacrifice. Oh, may that ring in our hearts that, Lord, let me die more than I've ever, let me die out to whatever that I have to give up, surrender from, Lord, to let you have your way. It's so easy to have our own ambitions sometimes, and they may not be wrong. What I'm wanting to do may not be against the word, but it might be hindering something else God is wanting for that moment in time. I may have to give up my ambition till God says it's time I can pick it back up. But oh, may we truly focus in to the purpose for which we've been sent and truly be a people that's hungry. You know, sometimes some people come to church just to try to find fault. We've seen that over the years. Just to pick and to try to find this and to try to find that. And this person don't do it like I do. We've seen that over the years. But let's be a people that our goal is, Lord, what can I do to help my brother or my sister in her walk with Christ Jesus that would benefit them one little more step, Lord, to help them along their way? Oh, may we truly be a people that love one another with all of our hearts and do all we can as brothers and sisters to help each other. Amen. Not just talk about it, but let's have a possession of our testimony that we believe it. Amen. Amen. Let me see here. This is in the message, the harvest time. I just wanted to catch something Brother Branham said here. This was preached December 12, 1964. You sisters can go come to the instruments if you would. He says here, page 27, and he begins to speak here about Peter. He said, "And I said, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when all this was noised abroad, and they was all shouting and praising God, they said, men and brethren, what can we do to be saved? And Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Heavens and earth will pass away, but that word will never fail. You Pentecostals paid no attention to the Methodist, Baptist, or Presbyterian. You know that was for every generation, and you pressed into it, certainly. Now, just don't stop pressing right there. Just keep on pressing, see? That's where the Methodists made their mistake. They pressed into sanctification, but stopped. Lutheran pressed into justification and stopped, see? And then it organized, and there it dies. It's the end of all of it. Watch now as we hurry up through. When the Spirit of Truth has come, he will teach you all things whatsoever I've taught you. Oh, my bearing all remembrance to you of what I've said to you, bringing to you all remembrance. And he will show you things to come, and he will vindicate every word, confirming the word with signs following. Everything that he promised, that God promised in the Bible, if you'll turn loose from every creed and everything else and hold on to that word, God is obligated to take care of his word. And so when they did this, the word vindicates itself. And maybe we need to search our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. Am I holding on to a creed? Am I holding on to something that's keeping me from totally turning loose and grabbing a hold of God's word alone and standing on that? Could be some man said to me one time, you need to do it like this because that's the way Brother Branham did it. That works for him. Maybe so-and-so done it like this. We hear all kinds of things. This is the way it was handled. That was the way it was handled. But God left his word to show you how to handle each situation. And if you can turn loose of your creed or your idea and look to the word of God and let God give you the revelation of how to handle. You watch God vindicate that word right through your life 100% for his glory and to his honor. And it'll be work right in tune with what he wants it to be. But oh my, are we hungry for this life to be fully vindicated? Are we laboring? Are we just travailing in pain and agony waiting? Lord, deliver us from this place. Do we want that in our hearts and our lives? Is we ready to be free of this world? Or are we still happy to be here? We're still loving it. Hey, man, you know, I don't think I know of any woman when she gets to be about 9 months pregnant that's not ready to have that child. She's not saying, I'll just keep carrying it for another 9 months. No, she's ready to be delivered. And oh, may we be a people that's craving. Lord, make it full. Let this full word come forth in our hearts and in our lives. Till it can be an expression out to others that you live today. And that every word is fulfilled and backed up in our lives just exactly the way you want it to be. Oh, may that be the desire of our hearts, saints. May we truly press more. May we look, search harder for the little things to make sure that everything we're doing is lining up 100% with what God wants in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Just a small exhortation, but pray that something in it will stir our hearts a little greater to press, a little higher to climb. We've got higher heights to go. And you know, you can see, if you're truly honest, I can look at my life and see where the Word has showed me there's higher heights to climb. But by God's grace, there's a desire in there burning. Lord, let me reach those higher heights. And oh, may it truly be the desire of our heart to climb and to press. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus as our brother come. Higher ground. Amen.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up.
I'm sure that's the desire of our hearts, isn't it? Yes. Have our feet planted on higher ground. Yes. That we'll climb another rung in Jesus Christ. I was thinking about a scripture, actually, this morning. And I thought, you know, and especially after the message and hearing the song we just sang, I wonder if I'd just ask you a question. Why do we get a job and work? You ever think about that much? I'm sure we probably all would immediately think, well, I must provide for my family, the needs of my family. Because if I don't, I'm worse than an infidel. I'm worse than an unbeliever. But you know, there's more than that to it. And it's things like this is why I believe it would be so good if we'd all just sit down and read the Word and make more time for it. And we're so busy with different things, but how much time do we spend reading the Word of God and studying it? Just like the scripture in Ephesians 4 chapter and 28th verse. Listen, it's something as simple as this. Apostle Paul says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Yes.
Wow. Labor for that reason? So it's not only to provide for our own, but also to help those in need. Labor with my own hands to do that. Amen. Wonder how many times we've thought about that. Looking for a job. Praying for a job. There are so many things in the Word of God that we must come to.
Amen.
Come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's why I pray, Lord, oftentimes, open my understanding to anything I lack, Lord. Maybe when I begin to read, something will strike my heart. I want to be right in everything God wants me to do. Everything. And I believe that's only the true desire the true bride will have. It's to be everything God wants them to be. Amen. To be conformed to the image of His Son. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. But there's so many things in God's Word. If we would just sit and begin to read and begin to measure ourselves up by, we might find something in our life that needs overcome. And as I said, if the desire is right in your heart, that's truly what you want. Amen. So that's why we should read the Word of God. That's just another little extra nugget, you know. You mean labor? I thought it's my own family. That's the only thing that's on my mind, Brother Steve. Well, not according to Scripture, shouldn't be. It should be also to help someone else in need. Mm-hmm. That's why you labor. Wow. And some of it had me have the attitude, well, I'm take care of my own. It's up to everybody else, whatever they want to do. You know, but maybe somebody would come along in need. Is that why you're working too? Amen. Lord, help me to make a living today that maybe you could show me somebody else in need I could help them. Amen. Amen. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. And Jesus is the Word. Amen. Praise His name. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that upon the hearts of this people in this Lord, you put me under. And Father, there'll be something burn within their hearts that it's every word. And Father, they'll search for that word in their hearts, their lives, that they may be lacking. And Father, how easy it is for a man or woman or any person to stand there and think, oh, I'm all right. I'm such a good person and I'm going to heaven and everything's just right in my life. But it seems like somehow you always have a way to show us where we have need in our life. And Father, I pray that you help us to keep our hearts always open to receive that portion we need. Don't let our hearts become hardened and crusted, but have an open heart, a love and longing to hear the Word of God. It'd be like the precious prophet said, we'd have a passion to know your Word. We'd have a fervent desire to please you. There'd be a cry to reach out in the Spirit. Oh God, don't let that fade in our lives. Increase it, oh God. May it be fanned by the Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, you'll be able to express and identify yourself in these tabernacles of flesh. That when they see this flesh, they will see Jesus Christ. They will know that you live. In bodies again. Help us, Lord, to have that type of desire. Go with us now, Lord, I ask. Keep your hand upon us. Give us safe journeys home. And Lord, may this week, as we approach it now, and if you should tarry, Lord, may we be open vessels for you to use, and the Father, your name would be glorified. Oh, that you could be Jesus Christ the same today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. The same one yesterday. Always, Lord, never changing. Help us, Lord, to yield to that. We thank you now again for your mercy. The mercy that has let us come in these doors this day. And again, as our brother said, Lord, thank you for the desire you've given to us. We appreciate everything now. Appreciate the word tonight. We appreciate the song service. Lord, the worship we was able by grace to give back to you. And every one of the songs, Lord, meant something to me. Lord, is so precious to me. How the words in those songs truly melt my heart. But may we go through the day, Lord, singing and making melody in our heart unto you. But Lord, that's another word. Let it be to me, Lord, according to thy will. Bless us now in your holy, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing, of course, where He leads me, I will follow. Amen. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where mean that with all your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Sing it one more time. Where he leads me out. Jesus Christ, richly bless you.